Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Now, Ireland will not meet its carbon budget targets for 2021 to 25, or indeed for 26 to 30, unless urgent action is taken. That's according to the Climate Change Advisory Council, which is tasked, as you know, with advising the government on climate action and assessing Ireland's progress as well. The council has also warned that 2023 is a critical year for delivering on climate action. But for more on this, I'm joined by Senator Pauline O'Reilly of the Green Party and Jennifer Whitmore, Social Democrat TD for Wicklow and party spokesperson for climate, environment and biodiversity. You're both very welcome to the programme. Is there an acceptance, Pauline O'Reilly of the Green Party, within government that we're on course to fail?
Well, the answer is in your words there, unless there is significant action. And that's the piece that we absolutely agree with. June was the hottest on record for Ireland. July is the wettest on record. So there's absolutely has to be a determination by everybody to make this work. But let's be really clear about this. We had a ship to turn and we went into government to turn that ship. And it's not insignificant to say that the drop in emissions is just under 2%, but much, much more needs to be done.
OK, and is there an acceptance then? Is there an acceptance that if we miss our targets for 2021 to 25, for example, that we need to do even more than we thought in the years subsequent?
Absolutely. I think everybody has to recognise that we have an opportunity now with the climate action, a new climate action plan for 2024 coming out shortly. But even this year, we have now approval to go ahead with four offshore offshore wind farms, and they will produce enough energy for 2.5 million homes by the end of this decade. And some of that will come on stream by 2027, 2028. We also have 500 homes a week signing up for solar. When we went into government, that wasn't even on the radar that people were putting up solar. But because we have now removed all VAT on solar panels, have grants available and have removed planning permission for solar panels, this is a huge revolution in that. We're actually
The problem is more fundamental, though. If you're not meeting targets that are lenient or benign, according to some, in transport or agriculture, for example, how do you meet tougher targets?
Well, we always knew that at the start we were going to have to ramp up in terms of putting in the legislation, putting in the planning. And, you know, like it's anybody who says that it was going to be easy and in year one we were going to just magically turn off our emissions. I think, like, number one, that wouldn't be just or fair. But number two, I think that they're fooling people.
So did you always know there was a high likelihood of missing targets?
We know that we have to decarbonize an entire society, like everything from our transport, from our homes, all of that.
No, I know, but the question is, did you know when you were setting out those targets that there was a high likelihood that you'd miss them?
We knew that it would be challenging. Of course, we knew it would be challenging, but it's also important to be really ambitious. And what it means is that what we've set out in the Climate Act, and both myself and Jennifer are on the Climate Committee for the Oireachtas, what it means is that each year you have to ramp it up further and further, particularly if you're not hitting targets.
I don't know how that's going to be done, though, Jennifer Whitmore, if I can bring you in here. If you can't meet the targets that are there, and everybody knows at this stage, or most people know at this stage, how much of a challenge it is in terms of climate action, how do you meet tougher targets if you haven't brought along the various communities with you?
Well, I think that's it. And look, no one thought this was going to be simple. But the unfortunate reality is the report today from the Climate Change Advisory Council is the same message that they gave last year in 2022 and is essentially the same message that they gave in 2021 as well. And that is that government is not delivering even on the simple things that they could be doing in order to meet our targets.
Like what?
So it is getting more and more difficult. Well, if you look at things like, you know, to look at a very simple example, we had 130 buses, electric buses, that have been sitting in a yard in Dublin for a year because the infrastructure wasn't in place to provide charging points for them. So if you can't even get the very, very basic stuff like that, I think talking about, you know, wind power and that's going to be the answer to all this, like, I would have grave concerns that if we're not meeting those simple things, that even the big projects are going to be very, very difficult.
Is there a quick answer to that, Pauline?
Well, the big projects are on track because we've already had the auction this year. So
the specific question about the 130 EV buses, but no charging points. I mean, it's Monty Python stuff.
It's not no charging points. What it is that for a reason best known to themselves, Dublin City Council decided that they weren't going to exempt planning for this, whereas Limerick decided that they would exempt planning for it. I think that there are those pieces, absolutely.
Sorry, exempt planning for what? Charging points?
For charging points in Limerick, but Dublin decided not to do that.
This is just laughable stuff. The fact that central government couldn't order that planning be exempted here in a piece of legislation, I mean, this is laughable.
Well, and Cormac, can I just come in?
Let's hear the response. We'll come back to you, Jennifer.
Just one second. What's really important here, and the piece that actually neither of you are referring to, is the big, big picture things that are actually in place now that weren't in place. Like MARA set up 2 weeks ago. We have we have two fire power stations coming off line because we have enough sun on those days because we have solar panels. So all of those things are really moving in the right direction. We actually have a reduction in transport emissions of 5% compared to before the pandemic. So, you know, these are actually real things that actually are turning the ship around. And to be honest with you, we are in government doing the hard things in order to make that happen. But nobody said that it was going to be easy, because every part of the system is set up in a way that is completely designed around fossil fuels.
I don't see the Social Democrats.
And we have to shift all of that.
I don't see the Social Democrats, Jennifer, with any silver bullet in terms of how to achieve the targets any more quickly or easily.
So you need to deliver, Cormac. I mean, and Social Democrats have put forward a lot of proposals in relation to this. And something I've repeatedly said to the minister is the Social Democrats want the minister to actually achieve this. We need this government to achieve climate action, but we're not seeing it. And I'm just going to, like, the very simplest point is the government has set out the climate action plan, and that climate action plan specifies every single one of the policies it is going to implement in order to meet our climate reductions. So that's the pathway to meeting the 51% theoretically. Unfortunately, the climate action plan that the government has put out there, and it does so on an annual basis, has never had enough policies in there to meet the 51%. The EPA 2 months ago calculated that actually it would only meet 29% of our emissions reductions versus the 51% that has been claimed. The Climate Action Plan isn't ambitious enough. And at the time when the EPA came out with that report, I asked the minister to actually revise the Climate Action Plan
that you would increase.
Okay. Well, the first thing I think we need to do is recognise that we can't continue to use huge amounts of energy unless it is renewable. So if you look at things like data centres, Social Democrats have called for a moratorium on data centres because it now actually represents 18% of our electricity use. That's up 400% since 2015. We've called for a moratorium on that because we need to strategically manage and perhaps use them in things like district.
What if the IDA says to you this may curtail investment into the country and curtail jobs?
Well, I mean, the IDA are also saying, Cormac, that actually having an insecure energy grid is preventing companies investing in this country. Companies actually walked away from investing because they did not believe that the energy grid was secure enough.
But they make a case for the status quo in terms of data centres, don't they?
Well, I think they're not looking at it in the round, though, because if we have too many data centres to the point where we can't provide electricity to households, that is a problem.
So they're wrong.
And that would indicate, I think, that they're looking at it purely from an economic perspective. It is the government's role to look at it from a holistic perspective, from a climate perspective, from a community perspective, and from a business perspective, because I think, you know, and we have seen companies actually decide not to invest because there wasn't. And another solution that we've put forward is a really significant solar investment. So actually, if you look, 1 million households in this country are eligible or would have be able to get solar panels on top of their homes. The grants are only 2,500. It's absolutely like the grants are insufficient to encourage people to move to solar.
So you say that there should be movement there. Can I ask Pauline O'Reilly, finally then, we are quite short on time, just about a minute or so left. If we need to make up progress, where do we need to focus?
Well, I mean, there'd be 1,000 schools would get solar panels this year, and 500 a week of houses are signing up. I don't think you could possibly go any faster. So I think, you know, a lot of this stuff is pie in the sky that Jennifer's talking about, with respect, and in relation
it's
to data
really
centres.
It's really not, Pauline.
Hang on a second. My question, relates to which sector? My question relates to which sector, Pauline. It's easy to point to the sky and solar because it offends no one. Which sector do we need to make progress on?
Every single sector needs to make progress, and we've seen that the strategic rail review.
When you give responsibility, let me interject here, because when you give responsibility to everyone, nobody has responsibility. Where is priority number one? Which sector?
I think the transport is priority number one, because it's how everybody moves around, and that is why we do need to shift direction and have 2-to-1 in favour, which is what we're doing, 2-to-1 in favour of public transport. One new rural bus service a week is being rolled out, and we have record numbers of people on public transport, but the infrastructure really needs that investment, and that takes an all of government approach, and it also takes everybody across every sector and every county council getting on board and saying we've got to invest first in public transport and in cycling lanes, because that's where the real shift will happen.
Unfortunately out of time. We'll definitely come back to it. Pauline O'Reilly of the Green Party, Jennifer Whitmore of Sock Dems, thank you both very much indeed. 51551.
Thanks, Cormac.